As you know, over the last month or more, we've been, it's probably over a month now, we've been doing testimonies Sunday mornings, and it's been quite an encouraging thing to hear so many stories of people's spiritual stories as we've preparing for, we call Membership Sunday, which is coming up probably in May sometime. And I don't know about you, but I found those really encouraging. And there's still more to come. So it's this morning, Dorothy is going to share her testimony. And Dorothy's a lady I've come to appreciate a lot Tuesday mornings at MOPS. She's faithfully there helping setting up and that kind of thing. And so I kind of got an idea we should maybe just help her out Sunday, when she comes Tuesday mornings for MOPS. So we had set up the table for her and have her chair ready and have her stuff on the table for her. And often if I caught her when she came in, I'd give her a hug just to welcome her there. And this last little while, she has not, she has had to step away from that with some health issues and that kind of thing. And so she's able to share her testimony this morning, and we're just glad to hear it, Dorothy. Lord bless you as you share.
Thank you, Bob. This is the church I grew up in. Some of you who have been here for a while know me and my family. It was here I was baptized, and this was the first church where I was a member. As I was growing up, I was always told I would be a nurse, and so I was. I went to nursing school in Regina, but it was here that I decided I wanted to have some fun, so I turned away from God and went my own way. When I was working, some friends and I went to see Jesus Christ Superstar in Regina. Afterwards, one of my friends and I were talking about the play, and I found myself saying, "It doesn't go far enough." And I realized that I believed that Jesus was the Son of God, that he lived and died and lived again. I have never not believed that. So I decided I needed to change how I lived. Sometime later, a friend told me this: inviting Jesus to be a part of your life is like when he knocks, you invite him into your house. At first, he lives only in the living room, and he helps you to clean up that room. It takes some time, but eventually you ask him into the dining room, then the kitchen and the bedroom, every room of the house, but you don't show him the hall closet. That's the place where you put all the things you don't want to deal with. But eventually he says, "Dorothy, let's deal with the hall closet." It took some time to get to the hall closet. When my father died, I decided to use the money I inherited to go back to school. I went to the university in Saskatoon. While I was there, I met nurses who had worked in the north and in Africa. Their stories intrigued me. One of my fellow students who worked in the north, well, he tried to convince me that I should work up north. So I took his advice and was placed in a small northern isolated community of 1,200. The closest doctors and hospital were 3 hours away. I learned a lot in that community. One night, I was awakened by a hand on my shoulder and a knife at my throat. It did not take me long to realize that the man's intentions were not honorable. Time seemed to stop, and I experienced a terror like nothing I had experienced before. I was sure I was going to die. It seemed like hours, but probably wasn't, when I managed to get away. I hid in a bathroom and waited for daylight, when I finally felt safe to come out. It took me a while to deal with that incident, but it will always be with me. I feel uncomfortable in some situations, and I think if someone tried to wake me by shaking my shoulder, I would instinctively hit them. I put that experience in my hall closet. I soon noticed something different in the community. I think the women there, looking at my experience, decided that I would understand what they had to deal with in their own homes. They would come to the clinic and tell me their stories. It seemed that just talking about them helped them to deal with their situation. About a year later, I was diagnosed with lupus. One day when I was visiting my doctor, he asked me what I did, and I told him about my past week. One death, one birth, three attempted suicides, and about 40 people a day with a variety of illnesses. He told me to get a job that was less stressful. So I did, as a public health nurse in LaRange. And when my boss took early retirement, I was asked to be supervisor and then director of nursing for the northern half of the province. I realized that I wanted to have children. A friend suggested I register with the province. I did. But the rule seemed to be that as a single person, I would go to the bottom of the list and I would stay there. So my friend suggested a private adoption. She knew someone who wanted to give up her baby. We got together and made plans. When her baby was born, I named him and took him home. I hired a lawyer to do the paperwork. After 3 months, when I did not hear from him, I phoned him, and he told me I needed to be in touch with the mom and ask her about the paperwork. When I phoned her, she told me she wanted Matthew back. I had no legal standing, so I had to give him back. I was devastated. That was probably the hardest thing I ever did. Another thing I put in my hall closet. Sometime later, I was in Regina for a meeting and a family celebration. The night between the two events, I was very restless. I tossed and turned and thought about the lawyer who I felt had screwed things up. I hated him. It seemed I couldn't not think about him. Finally, at about 3 a.m., I said, God, I know I need to forgive him, but I can't do it on my own. You are going to need to change my attitude. I went to sleep. The next day, my mother and I were in the elevator when the door opened and in stepped the lawyer and his wife. I did not yell at him or spit in his face. We had a very civil conversation and they left the elevator. I was amazed. I did not hate the man and I could forgive him. And I discovered forgiveness is a gift from God and a gift you give yourself. Soon after that, I decided I needed to change. I moved to Regina and worked for Sask Health and then the City of Regina Health Department. Things were much calmer, but I continued to put things in the hall closet. After a few years, I began to feel restless. I happened to be talking with Ike Bergen. He told me sometimes restless is something God gives us when it is time to make a change. I began to think about being a counselor in a church setting and eventually went to seminary in Fresno, California. After all, where else can you hear people talking about their therapists while standing in line in the grocery store? A friend told me I was crazy. I was single, without children. What did I know about marriage or raising children? But I went anyway. One of the requirements of the counseling program was that we have our own counseling. It was here I began to deal with the things in the hall closet. One day at chapel, I had an experience of the Holy Spirit. A shudder went through my body, and a light entered me and took away the heaviness that had sat in my chest for years. I took with me a glow that has never left me. There are times when it dims, and I know that then that Jesus is saying to me, Dorothy, the hall closet has a problem. I got a job at Sardis Community Church. They ran a program for single moms who came with a number of issues. As well, they had a few members with mental health problems. I loved it. I felt as if everything in my life had been preparing me for this. There were times of discouragement, times when I said, Lord, what do I do with this? But I felt I was where I was supposed to be. Then I got arthritis. Suddenly, one day, I woke up aching in every joint and wondering if I could even get out of bed. I decided to exercise my will, and I got up. I was referred to a doctor in Vancouver who told me I had rheumatoid arthritis. It took 5 years before we found a drug that could that would help, and I had to leave my job and focus on just living. Quitting work was a problem for me. I went from a respected professional person to one who had no position at all. I had been told that I had the gift of helping people, and now I had trouble just helping myself. I moved back to Swift Current to be close to my family. I still live with pain, and there are many days when I don't do much. But I believe that God still has a purpose for me. After all, I'm still here. Where am I in my faith? I cannot live without God. Sometimes he seems distant, but Jesus is always close at hand. He helps me with everything I do. Jesus is first and foremost, and I hope and pray that will always be true.